taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. It's subtitled, To the Church in Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge what that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. An older gentleman was on the operating table awaiting surgery, and he insisted his son, a renowned surgeon, perform the operation. As he was about to get the anaesthesia, he asked to speak to his son. Yes, Dad? What is it? Don't be nervous, son. Do your best. And just remember, if it doesn't go well, if something happens to me, your mother is going to come and live with you. This is the kind of message that appears to come from these messages to the churches. Get it right or you'll be sorry. We've been looking at these churches that appear at the beginning of Revelations. So just in case you haven't been to all of our sermons on this topic, let's remind ourselves. Seven churches, each given a slightly different message based on their circumstances. Ephesus, which had forsaken its first love. Smyrna would suffer persecution. Pergamum needed to repent. Thyatira had a false prophet. Sardis, the church that had fallen asleep. Philadelphia, the church that had endured, and Laodicea, the church with the lukewarm faith. Today we're looking at Sardis. They're being criticised for falling asleep. But it's a bit strange, this, because if you look at some of the other churches, they are being praised for their patience. So when is a church being patient, and when is it falling asleep? Of course, we know John writes this to the actual churches of the time. And to remind you, they were churches that he had pastoral responsibility over. And these are more than a letter. John writes to the churches because he wants to communicate what he's heard, this vision from God. John here is right at the end of his life. He spent the early part of his life, of course, with Jesus. Now he is at the end of his life. And so he uses this chance to warn the churches, you've got to get this right. All of our churches, located in modern-day Turkey, and they're fairly close together, about 30 miles apart each. And there are tensions growing between Jews and Christians. We're at the beginning of a period of quite intense Roman persecution of Christians. And this is causing some uncertainty and arguments in the church. It's a time of change in the society of the ancient Near East and Southern Europe. We're beginning to see churches pull apart and form different traditions. And these warnings here to all of these churches are intended to pull the churches together. Dark days are indeed coming for the fledgling church, and they need to be in the right place, and they need to be strong to endure that. In some ways, our church we're looking at today, the church in Sardis, could look to the going on in other churches, because of course this letter was sent to all of them, so they saw what was going on and what was being said to the other churches. In some way, Sardis could look to these other churches and feel reasonably happy. The Christians in Sardis might have read about Laodicea, for instance, and been quite happy with their account. But there's a warning here. We sometimes look at our neighbours, don't we? Our neighbouring congregations, other churches around about us. And we might say, well, we're not quite in as bad a situation as they are. And this is true for Sardis. And actually the message here is primarily one of warning, which isn't the case for all of the other churches. Jesus is saying to them, you're asleep. Yet anyone hearing this could still feel okay with things. They could say, phew, I am one of those who hasn't soiled their garments, as the phrase was used in our reading. But in fact, as we can see in verse 1, the church is dead. Isn't that profound? How would we react if this was written to our congregation? You have all of the reputation, but none of the life. The message is strong. To the outside world, this church is alive. Full of hope. It's almost certainly grown because of the influx of Christians to the cities at the time, because Jews at that time who were proclaiming faith in Jesus Christ were moving from worship at the synagogue to worship amongst the church communities. And the other churches around, they look at Sardis and they say, look, we can see Sardis is thriving, and yet Jesus is saying you're dead. You're asleep. The letter is a cry. Wake up! Straight away in verse 2. Stop going on cruise control. The emphasis here is that even those in the church don't realise that this has happened, it's crept up on them. No one is more surprised at this message than those at Sardis. You assume things are going along quite nicely, thank you very much. But they've been fooled because they've stopped relying on Jesus. They're happy because they're secure. They're complacent because they don't suffer much hardship. Their focus is on the convenient and not what the Spirit is guiding. As a group, they've become unfocused. And as individuals, they feel they've already done the work. Look, we're prospering. We've had our time. We helped build this church to the success it is today. But Jesus is saying, wake up, you've fallen asleep. The message to the church is your job does not have an end time. Wake up, hard times are coming. The world is changing. And verse 5 finishes the message with another warning. If you don't wake up, then I'm going to come and sort you out. It's a message of judgment. And John is not talking about the end times here, like in Matthew 24. God is saying, wake up or you are in trouble soon. Final note, Sardis. All the other letters, all the other mentions, or the little letters to the churches, contain mention of God's kingdom, his power, his glory, but not here. If the church gets their act together, their promise is not to be struck off the book of life. And of course it says they will be robed in white. This is in fact, despite how it looks on the surface, the harshest judgment, I think, of all the seven churches. Jesus is saying to this church, if you don't wake up, then you will not get to heaven. So, what do we want God to be saying to us as our church? Will he say, I will keep you because you've kept my word? You've remained loyal to me. You've obeyed the guidance of the Spirit. You have endured. You know, I really hope so. But are we living off our past works? Are we perhaps in cruise control? Are we following what the Holy Spirit wants? Do we need to wake up?